thing I was going to have to. So he stood up to, stepped up to the plate. Anything's better than me having to sing, I promise you. I appreciate you being here. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for coming. Honestly, we're glad you're here. And I'm glad you're here. If you're a member also, Psalm 95. Psalm 95, I want to look back at this thought. As maybe you can tell by now, it's been big on my heart. And I believe that that comes for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the Lord wants it. That's the primary burden and concern and assurance. And I believe it's just what the Lord wants for us. I believe it's what he wants for me. I know that he is. Touching my heart about knowing more about worship and not just being informed, but doing it by worshiping. And sure does please him for us to worship, as I've mentioned before. But I want to look back at this thought in Psalm 95. I begin reading in verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The psalmist is just simply admonishing everybody to worship the Lord. And in the midst of the words that I just read, he gives some reasons why. If you remember the book of Revelation, they are worshiping him for who he is and what he's done. That's exactly what the psalmist is admonishing us to do, to worship him. He says in verse 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. The idea is coming with something. The thought, the word that he uses is thanksgiving. It has the idea, it's connected to the worship, of worshiping him with thanksgiving, of acknowledging what he's done, and from a grateful heart, expressing that. That is a form, that is worship, and includes praise. But the idea, again, is not just coming. It isn't just showing up. We all have shown up tonight. We are here. But the idea is coming with something, bringing something with us. It has the idea of preparing. I'm reminded, and I'll mention this more than once tonight, of Genesis 8:20, where the Bible says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. He builded, we would say he built, an altar unto the Lord. He constructed, he built. That means he put some materials together. He gathered what was necessary and placed it as it should be to build an altar. He is preparing to worship. He is getting things together. He is getting the necessary items to put together the altar whereby he can worship the Lord. No doubt, he could worship God without an altar. We find that all through the Bible. But I am also interested in the fact of how So many times in the Bible, we are confronted with the thought of building an altar whereby we can worship. In fact, 9 times those very words, "builded an altar," is found in the Bible. Many times we find people worshiping. But the idea of building an altar has the idea or the thought of preparing. You have to construct the altar. You have to get the materials together to construct the altar. And again, it has the idea of preparation. That's exactly what the psalmist said. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. A prepared heart. Just like that altar. You can't build an altar, not as we find in the Bible, without the materials. It's kind of like you have a spring, a water break, and water squirting all over your living room, and the plumber shows up with no tools. He's there. He has shown up, but he doesn't come prepared. And he comes in that state, even though he may know, and he may have the best business in town. I don't know how you could do that and not bring tools, but he has a big van, and everything's free, and a new hall, everything, but he comes in your house and doesn't have a tool, doesn't have a wrench. He has come, but he's not prepared. Let's say there's a prowler in your house. You saw the shadow go through your bedroom. You know he's there. And you quietly dial 911. Sure enough, the police show up. But they don't have a gun. I want to tell you something. If somebody's in my house, I want them to bring a gun. I want them to bring a big gun. And they are there. They show up, but they didn't come prepared for the situation. And a lot of times what happens to us, and I'll deal primarily with worship in the church tonight, is we show up, but we don't bring what's necessary to enable us to worship. We have not come prepared. And that'll be my next point. Worship is something that is personal and public and proper and passionate and pleasing, but is also something that is planned. I'm not saying worship can't just jump on you. I'm not saying that worship can't just be suddenly an unexpected experience. In fact, that can happen certainly quite readily, quite easily if we allow that to happen. But even, if you will, suddenly, unexpectedly, we find ourselves in the state of worship. If that happens, it'll be because our heart's prepared. We have made our hearts ready. That's what the psalmist said. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. We're coming with the attitude. We've already prepared. We're already gotten ready. We come with the expectation. We have a plan. I am going to church to worship. That's why I'm going. Not the only reason, surely not. But that's one of the reasons, maybe the predominant reason. I have come into His presence. Worship is something that is planned. I'll say it again. Before we can truly worship, rightly worship, we'll have to prepare our hearts for it. We'll have to prepare like Noah built the altar. He got the wood together and the stones together, and he did it all to meet with God. I thought about this, and throughout the Bible, there's several names, several occasions where people are recorded of building altars to worship at. This is not all of them by any means, but it's quite a few. Could I read it to you? Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Balak, Joshua, Gideon, Manoah, Israel, Samuel, Saul, David, Jeroboam, Ahab, Elijah, Uriah, Manasseh, and Zerubbabel. That's the names of people where God made sure we knew they built an altar because they wanted to worship God. And that tells me that this thing is important. I'm telling you, there's this thing of not only is it important to worship, but to prepare our hearts to worship. They built an altar. They went and got the materials with the one thing in mind, to worship, to spend time with their Lord. And that's what I'm saying tonight. So here's my question. How do I get ready to go to church to worship? Hey, Noah built an altar. The psalmist said, let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us come with the attitude, let's bring it with us. How do I come? How do I get ready to come to church to worship? Well, as it says there, let us come. I think of the word plan. That's my whole thought. Planning ahead. Hey, sometimes you'll just run into an attitude of worship. Sometimes you'll come to church and it'll just jump all over everywhere. Sometimes you don't expect it. To be honest, hadn't even prayed, didn't hardly even expect it. You've just rushed to church and here he is. I'm going to tell you something. If we as his people, individuals, worship him like we should, it'll be because we planned ahead. We've planned ahead. Hey, Noah building an altar unto the Lord. He planned to worship before he worshiped. You understand that? He planned to worship before he ever worshiped. Jeremiah 7:2 talks about some people and what they're to say. And here's what they say. Enter into these gates to worship the Lord. I'll tell you what, I'd put a big sign out there when we're coming in. If it do good for long, that you have entered this place to worship. It might do good for a service or two, then we get used to it. It's like the signs, you are now entering the mission field. That'll do good for a week or two. After that, everybody forgets it, gets used to it. Oh, we come here to worship. That takes planning. Remember, he deserves it. He desires it. He demands it. He delights in it. Come to church on purpose with the intention of worshiping. Got a question? I've been preaching this now. Was this the fifth time, I guess? I want to ask you a question. Don't have to answer me. Probably hope you don't. I preached five times now, at least, starting my fifth message on worship. Has it changed you at all? Have you applied what I've been saying? Is all this just a waste of time? Or is God getting through to us? I say me too. Is God getting to us? He's saying this for a reason. I'm preaching this for a reason. God's saying this to us because he wants us to worship. Got a question? Are we doing it? Has it changed our actions at all? Have we come into church with a different attitude tonight than we usually do because of what God said the last 5 weeks? I'm saying, listen, God says, you got a plan on this thing. Now, I'm telling you, it can happen unexpectedly. It can just jump on you. You can just be worshiping and you didn't even realize what was going to happen. But it'll be because you've planned ahead and prepared your heart. Oh, plan. He said, let us come. That deals with a plan. How do I get ready to come to church to worship? The word plan comes to my mind. The word preparation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. It literally means you bring it with you. You bring it. Thanksgiving. That attitude, the attitude of worship ain't something you just pick up and put on like your socks. It's the heart. We come with the attitude. Our hearts have been prepared before Noah built an altar. He got all the materials together before he ever bowed down, before he ever worshiped, before he ever praised, before he ever prayed. He got all the things together. He was preparing. He says, I want to worship God. God wants me to worship. God told him to build the altar, by the way. And he built the altar because he had a plan, and he was prepared. He was preparing his heart to worship. Prepare means to get ready before. To get ready before. You get a phone call, an old friend you hadn't heard from in years in town. Hey, I'm going to be there Thursday afternoon, spend a couple of hours with you. Well, you prepare yourself and you'll prepare your house and you'll clear your slate on the calendar that day and you'll give that person, you'll prepare for their arrival. Got a test coming up in school. Hopefully you prepare for it. That means you do what's necessary beforehand. Before the test comes, if you don't, you ain't ready for the test, and you have not prepared. Prepared means I do what I need to do beforehand to be ready when it comes. When the friend comes, I'm ready for them. When the test comes, I'm ready for it. And when church comes, I'm ready for it. I'm prepared. I've planned ahead. I've prepared. I've done beforehand what's needed. I'm going to do what it takes to when I get to church, I'm ready to worship. That's why these old folks from years ago, not only old folks, by the way, young folks like us, used to shout getting out of the car. Because they'd already planned and prepared and got it all together. Their hearts were ready. And they couldn't hold it in before they even got in the church. Boy, I long for those days. I believe God wants that again. I don't know why He wouldn't. I believe it's possible. I'm aiding, helping, praying, begging God to do that. I'm talking about how do I get ready to go to church? How do I get ready to go to church to worship? First, it's a plan. Noah got everything together. He had a plan, and it was preparation. The psalmist said, let us come together, come before His presence with thanksgiving, prepared all the things that's necessary. Preparing for church, preparing our hearts to worship when church time comes, means we're going to have to worship out there. I'll tell you something. If we don't out there, we probably won't much here. Preparing my heart. I don't want to say it. I'm kind of hee-hawing around here because I don't want to say it, but I'm still going to say it. I hope you understand. I would encourage you to practice worshiping. Just plumb practice it. I'm not talking about practicing the tuba or practicing some game. I'm talking about but practice. I mean, do it. I mean, our hearts need to be prepared. And all the things need to be put together in our altar of our heart before we come. And one of the best ways to do that is worship out there. Worship at home. Worship riding down the road. Worship when you get a break at work. I'm talking about worship. You don't always need a physical altar. Sometimes it's good to have one. I do. Got more than one. I'll tell you what, we can worship God. And to prepare, I'm talking about how do I come to church ready to worship? Number one, plan on it, plan on it, plan on it. I'm going to church to worship. But then preparation. Our hearts are prepared. Our hearts, all the altar of our heart has been put together. And there's a place in me ready to worship. Turn to Exodus 20 real quick. I'm talking tonight about worship. And it's something that is planned. Noah built an altar. Others built altars to worship. Here's a good place where we can find that same type of thought, where God's instructing people to build an altar. And much of what they did at that altar was worship. Exodus chapter 20, look at it, look it up. Exodus chapter 20, look in your Bible, get there. Come on, there you go. Verse 24. Listen to it. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. If thou wilt make, listen, if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps into mine altar, that thou nakedness be not discovered thereon. God gives instructions of how they're to build their altars. Their altar, one purpose was that they could worship. And he says, when you build an altar, you build it of wood, don't carve it. Don't make hand carvings. Don't trim it. He says, just go around and find what's laying around. Get an old broken limb, break a limb off, and you form out of those pieces of old beat up, curled up, old scrappy looking wood, an altar. If you build it of earth, don't go and find gold or silver, just mound up some dirt. He says, if you build it of stone, don't go and find some real pretty stone. Don't carve it. Don't take a stone. Don't go to the sculptor and get him to cut out real pretty stones. He said, just get what you can find. By the way, in that area, stones are everywhere. He just says, get whatever's handy. Just find something, just a rock. And the idea is this. You're building an altar. You're not building a museum. And the altar is not what's supposed to be your attention. The altar is just a place that you can get my attention. The altar is just, it's just a place to come. And that's a picture of our hearts. That's a picture of our services. We're not to be a glee club. We're not to try and be like cheerleaders. We don't have to have red, white, and blue lights and laser beams and dim the lights and move the pulpit off and have all. We don't have to do that to worship. In fact, I believe he says, that grieves me. He says, worship is from a heart like that old stone altar, that old mound of dirt altar. That old bunch of sticks you gather together, there's no pretense. There's an open, honest heart. Just you and God, you just open your heart. There's just an honest heart. If it's stone, you don't hew it. If you have, you polluted it. You don't build steps. If you build steps, hey, you don't go up. We go down to worship. It's not a mausoleum, it's not a museum, it's not an art piece. It's a place to meet God. And our heart is to be open. Our hearts to be nothing fancy. It's not, our worship is not to be something that attracts attention to us and gives glory to us. It's all Him. I'm talking about preparation, preparing your heart. That old stone, that old wood, that old mound of dirt, just an honest, open heart. No pretense, nothing fancy. Not bringing attention to myself, not bringing attention to anything but Him. After all, that's what worship is. In Psalm 5:7, it says, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercies, and in thy fear will I worship. He says, I'll come to your house realizing how good and merciful you are. And at the same time, come in fear. I'm telling you, worshiping Him and seeing Him. Come with your mind on Him. Think about the word plan. Noah planned to build the altar. Exodus, we just read, they planned to build the altar before they ever did. Preparation, they got the stuff together. Hear me, they got what was needed together. And we need to get what's needed in our heart. Prepare our heart to enable us to worship. Plan and preparation. But if you notice in this psalm, all the way through it, it's an expression from my heart to Him through my lips. That's what He's saying all over through the whole place, through the whole psalm. So I think of this word, prayer. I'm talking tonight about worship is something that is planned. You don't get to see it hit in the face with it all of a sudden, usually. And if I come to church to worship, it's because I planned on it, and I prepared for it, and I prayed for it. I want to ask you a question. Don't answer me. Did you pray tonight? Did you pray this afternoon? Did you pray this morning? Even at all the hubbub about the weather, did we have time? Did we make time to pray? To put our heart, to ask of Him, sure. To ask Him to bless, sure. But to just pray to Him, oh, Father, thank You. God, You've been so good to me. I'm going to church now. I don't want to go just come to a service. I don't want to just sit through the routine. Father, we don't want to be without You, Father. I just want to thank You now. I just want to say You've been so good to me. I'm going to church, and I just want to ask You to meet with us. And I want to tell You, I'm going to worship You when I get there. Prayer. I want to ask You again, did you do that this afternoon? Have you done that since you've been here? Hey, that's why we have altar prayer. Now, I don't do it all the time now because we're trying to change things a little bit because we get in such a routine. But I've got a question. Before our service, every service, there's a time where you can pray. But a lot of times we'll say, come to the altar. And that's a time when we can come and then, again, not starting then, hope you've started out there. But even if we have or haven't started out there, it's a good time to start the service. Say, Father, I want to worship You today. I want to ask You a question. Why don't You come to the altar? You know what? Fewer and fewer people coming to altar prayer. And I'll be honest, probably much of our folks, and to be honest, I hope this is true. If I cut it out completely, it would bother you. And I hope it would, because I think it's good. I like it. But I'll ask you a question. If you think it's good, if you're for it, why don't you do it? I mean, if it's so good that you'd get upset if we didn't have it, why don't you do it? Now, some of you have trouble kneeling. I understand that. And you can pray there in the pew, or you can sit in the front pew. But here's my point. Worship is something that's planned. And part of the preparation, part of the planning is prayer. And altar prayer is a great time. As good prayer room. You ladies need to start having prayer room again on Sunday night, by the way. And I don't have to enforce that. I don't have to appoint somebody. Just go in there and pray. Do that next Sunday, please. Will you do that? Just go on in there and pray about quarter till. It'll be good for you, good for us. Get your heart in tune. Prayer. It's me connecting to Him. It's my heart connecting to Him. That's what worship is anyway. And if we plan ahead and prepare our hearts, it'll work better. And then all the way through this psalm, oh, come, let us sing. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise. He's a great God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down, kneel before the Lord our Maker. All the way through it, His praise. So that'll be my next point. How do I come to church ready to worship? Plan, prepare, prayer, praise. You don't have to wait for a stirring. You don't have to wait for an emotion. praise Him. In fact, a lot of times that's what gets it started in your heart. If it gets started in your heart, He's just liable to start in somebody else's heart. If it gets started in a couple of people's heart, He's just liable to bust out all over. He's just liable to just come unglued. Hey, I'm telling you, I don't expect a shouting service every single time we come. I want to tell you one thing. We ain't worshiping like we ought to. And we need to. And one of the reasons is we're not preparing and planning ahead. Most of us, and I'll just be honest, I thought about using this illustration. I'll go ahead and tell you, and then I'm going to cross it out. Most Christians, not just you, most Christians I know, I go to revivals and camp meetings, and I go everywhere, and I'm finding it everywhere. I was going to say most Christians like coming to a buffet. They just come show up, go up and get what they want. But I thought that ain't even true. Because most Christians I know, if they come to the buffet, they got to get up and go get what they want. Most people don't even move to that. They sit at the table and wait let the waiter bring it. I'm telling you, most of us come saying, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Oh, we ought to give our worship. We ought to praise Him. I want to tell you, you don't need nothing to tingle your nose before that happens. You can praise Him if you don't feel nothing. Oh, thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you that I'm not in the grave. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not lost. Thank you I'm not in the hospital. Thank you for answering that prayer last week. Praise, praise. I'm talking about worship as something that is planned. And then I thought about this. Well, I didn't think it. He says it. Let us come before His presence. My last little word is presence. I hope you understand this is true. It's biblical. I believe that. I can worship Him even if there's not an overwhelming presence. I don't have to be swept away. I don't have to be yanked out of my seat. I don't have to be overwhelmed with the mysterious moving of a God of heaven who just sweeps through to worship. Makes it easier. But I don't have to have that. But I know His presence is with me. And I come into His presence. I come into the church. I come in here where He dwells. I come in here where He's home. I come into His house. I come prepared. I've come planned and prepared and prayed and praised up. And I come into His presence. Exodus, remember the verses? Right in the middle of it. All that building the altar and don't do it this way, do it that way. Right in the middle of it, God said, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. Right in the middle of all that preparing and praying and planning and preparation and all that stuff, all that thing about building the altar, He says, right in the middle of it, I'll come up there and I will bless you when you do it the way I tell you. And that's what we need. That's what I desire. That's what I need. When He moves, His presence. We need to be surrendered. I say it's often. You don't even hear me anymore. Mind the Lord, folks. I say it to me too. Mind the Lord when He does move. When His presence is manifested. Even if it's a gentle breeze, a gentle nudge. Be sensitive. Mind Him. His presence is easily grieved or quenched. Why it's so important that we obey Him and are sensitive to Him. So many times, I'm sure people have said, I didn't get a thing out of the service. I think I said this last time, I just need to say it again. I want to ask people. As far as I know, none of y'all's headed here. I don't believe. If you have, I start to say, I apologize. I guess that's still right. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying I've heard it through the ears. Didn't get a thing out of the service. You know what? Sometimes I was at that service. I got blessed to death. Oh, the other thing's true, too. There's been times where the whole congregation getting blessed. I didn't feel a thing. I think that's more me than them, though. But I still say it. We say sometimes, or we think sometimes, it just didn't get anything out of the service. Well, what did we bring? What did we put in the service? Did we come prepared? Did we plan ahead? I preached now 5 times on worship. I wonder if God lets us live till Wednesday, if our thoughts will be any different as we come toward church. I wonder if our thoughts will be different between here and Wednesday afternoon when we're getting ready to come. I wonder if we'll worship more. I wonder if our hearts will be ready. I want to say something. I'm done. Next Sunday morning especially, plan ahead. Could I encourage you, I said it before, go to bed early on Saturday night. It would come in groggy. It would come in half asleep. It would come in worn out. It would come in exhausted. We've already got an obstacle. Plan ahead. Prepare. Go to bed early on Saturday night. I don't like sitting up late on Saturday night. At best I can, I don't. Sometimes I miss out on some good stuff. But the good stuff I like better is on Sunday morning when I come awake and alert. Do your best to get to bed early on Saturday night and prepare and get up a little early on Sunday morning and start praying. Don't take long. Pray and prepare and get ready to where you, when you come to church, you're ready. Plan ahead. Come in. Could you just, let me encourage you again, just a few minutes early. And talk and shake hands and smile, love on each other. But just come and sit down or go to a room somewhere. And for a moment, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart to worship. I'm talking about worship is something that is planned. It sure is heavy on my heart. When I first started studying this again, I'll be honest, I started with, I don't even know what in the world worship is. The Lord's reminded me of some things and taught me some things and helped me with some things. But all this would be useless if we don't practice it. Well, let's stand together. I'm done for this evening. Many of you will come.